Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Cynthia Johnson, and I'm here with Dr. Reggie Johnson, and we're your hosts this morning. And this is going to be a fun week for us because we just finished up our book study of oneness, and we are in the throes of deciding what our next book study will be. But we're going to do some fun things in the meantime. I've asked and encouraged you guys to share with me your thoughts about where you would like to go next on this journey. I haven't heard from you. I think I've heard from maybe one or two people. And so today I promised that I would announce our decision. So stick around so you can hear where we will tread on this beautiful trek, journey in discovering who we truly are. Good morning, Dr. Reggie. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Sin. How are you?
I'm wonderful. I hope you had a wonderful weekend. I know you did.
I really did. I had fun, too.
I know. I love this time of year because it's not too hot and it's not too cold. It's just right. And if you're grilling outside, and I love to grill, the temperature is perfect. You know, it's bearable. I hate grilling when it's stinky hot, you know, and you get all sticky and stingy and ooh. But this is the perfect weather to grill in. So we grilled tonight, this weekend, didn't we?
Mm-hmm. It was fun.
So, Dr. Reggie, can you take us into our opening prayer, and then I have a surprise for our audience.
Okay. Heavenly Father and Mother God and Goddess, we thank you for being our beautiful divine parents, giving us life, giving us love, giving us empowerment to share that love and that life with others. Let us learn on this journey that we're on that the energy and the final authority of the universe is the Holy Spirit, and we are guided by the Spirit of holiness and sacred energy, knowing who we are in you. Let all the listeners be blessed with prosperity, divine health, and divine knowing. We believe it is so, and so it is.
And so it is, and so it is. Oh, I want to say good morning to my people in the chat room. Stick around. We're going to have fun today. What we're going to do this week is we're going to go through the seven spiritual laws of success, which is a practical guide to the fulfillment of your dreams. And it's based on Deepak Chopra's book, Creating Affluence. So for many of you, especially since we've coming out of the study of oneness, this is a wonderful, it will be a review. And you will really get to apply the principles in a different way, having that awareness. That's number one. Number two, if you are in the chat room, please, if you can, type up a question and participate. I want our audience to call in and ask questions or share experiences. It's part of our growth process, so I'd appreciate it if you would do that. So I'm going to go ahead and get started. I want to read the introduction of the book to you because I love the introduction. It always kind of, it lays the foundation, and it tells, the author is really telling you his intentions of what he's trying to share with you. He says that although this book is titled The Seven Spiritual Laws of Success, well, it could also be called The Seven Spiritual Laws of Life. because these are the same principles that nature uses to create everything in material existence. Everything that we can see, everything we can hear, smell, taste, or touch. In my book, Creating Affluence, Wealth Consciousness in the Field of All Possibilities, I have outlined the steps of wealth consciousness based on a true understanding of the workings of nature. And I so appreciate that, because when we started Circles of Prosperity, we began with trying to understand the nature of the environment around us and how that impacts our ability to create wealth. So when this knowledge is incorporated in your consciousness, it will give you the ability to create unlimited wealth with effortless ease and to experience success in every endeavor. I want you guys to really take a deep breath on that, because that is a true. That is true. If you have been following us in Circles of Prosperity, you know that we are moving into a consciousness where we attract what we desire to us rather than us working hard trying to get something. The universe is designed to bring it to you. And there should be no struggle. As a matter of fact, if you are a member of Circles of Prosperity and you've been following us, you know that we believe in instant manifestation. As soon as we think it and desire it, it manifests. So getting these principles and understanding these principles will move you closer to that reality. Success in life could be defined as the continued expansion of happiness. Success in life could be defined as the continued expansion of happiness and the progressive realization of worthy goals. Success is the ability to fulfill your desires with effortless ease. And yet success, including the creation of wealth, has always been considered to be a process that requires hard work, and it is often considered to be at the expense of others. We need a more spiritual approach to success and to affluence, which is the abundant flow of all good things to you. With the knowledge and practice of spiritual law, we put ourselves in harmony with nature and create with carefreeness and joy and love. You know, a lot of people want to start a business, and the first thing that they're concerned with is what's going on with other people who are doing something similar to what they're doing. Or they are afraid to let anybody know exactly what they're doing because they are afraid somebody's going to steal their idea from them. And so there's this backbiting that goes on. Boy, wouldn't it be great to go into business just confident and knowing that everything you need is coming to you, including your clients? Stick with us this week. We're going to show you how to do that. There are many aspects to success. Material wealth is only one component. Moreover, success is a journey and not a destination. Isn't that what oneness has told us? Oneness that says where we're seeking to go is not a destination, because we already are that which we are seeking. And so your success is already guaranteed. It's just that's already in the mix if you think properly. Now, if you think of struggle and think of problems and obstacles, and you're fearful of it, then that will be your experience. But there's no destination. There's just a journey. How many of you have set a goal and you kept your eye on the prize, and then once you got it, you were like, oh, is that all there is? I'll never forget the first time I went to California to pursue an acting career, and the first time that I got a job and I was on the set and they were measuring me for the lights, and I mean, it was just, it was a fantasy that came true. And I stood there and I went, is that it? Is this it? I mean, all this studying and all this struggle and, oh, is this it? But I had more fun going to the classes and meeting people and just the joy of really saying, oh, I'm an actress and, oh, I'm pursuing so and talking about it. And all of that was much more enjoyable for me than when I actually got there to work, because it was actually very boring work. When you, especially when you're doing film, stage is different, but film is very boring. You sit around most of the time waiting for them to call your name and say, come and join us. So anyway, Deepak is telling us that it's the journey that is the most important. Success also includes good health and energy and enthusiasm for life and fulfilling relationships and creative freedom and emotional and psychological stability and a sense of well-being and a peace of mind. Even with the experience of all these things, we will remain unfulfilled unless we nurture the seeds of divinity inside of us. Hello? You have to acknowledge that divine energy flowing through you. Your connection to all that is. Because in reality, we are divinity in disguise. We are the gods and goddesses in the embryo that are contained within us to be fully materialized. So true success is therefore the experience of the miraculous. It is the unfolding of the divinity within us. It is the perception of divinity wherever we go, in whatever we perceive, in the eyes of a child, in the beauty of a flower, in the flight of a bird. And when we begin to experience our life as the miraculous expression of divinity, not occasionally, but all the time, then we will know the true meaning of success. So listen to what he's saying. He's telling us exactly what we just studied in oneness, is he not? He's asking us to expand our consciousness, expand our awareness of that divine energy that flows through us, and look at the world from that perspective, as opposed from the perspective of the physical you, in which you have placed yourself in boundaries and limitations, and more importantly, in fear-based consciousness, which is the consciousness of being separate. So before defining the seven spiritual laws, let us understand the concept of what a law is. Law is the process by which the unmanifest becomes the manifest. It's the process by which the observer becomes the observed. It's the process by which the seer becomes the scenery. It's the process through which the dreamer manifests the dream. All of creation, everything that exists in the physical world, is the result of the unmanifest transforming itself into the manifest. Everything we behold from the unknown, our physical body, the physical universe, anything and everything that we can perceive through our senses is the transformation of the unmanifest, the unknown, and invisible into the visible, to the manifest, to the known. So the physical universe is nothing other than the self that's curving back within itself to experience itself as spirit, as mind, as physical matter. In other words, all processes of creation are processes through which the self or divinity, listen to that, self and divinity equals and means the same thing, in which the self or divinity expresses itself. Consciousness in motion expresses itself as the objects of the universe in the eternal dance of life. The source of all creation is divinity, or the spirit. And the process of creation is divinity in motion, or the mind. And the object of creation is the physical universe, which includes the physical body. So these three components of reality, which is what? Spirit, mind, and body. Or another way to look at it is the observer, the process of observing, and the observed. Well, they're essentially the same thing, aren't they? They all come from the same place. The field of pure potentiality, which is purely unmanifest. So the physical laws of the universe are actually the whole process of divinity in motion, or consciousness in motion. And when we understand these laws and apply them in our lives, anything we want can be created. Because the same laws that nature uses to create a forest, and check this out, or to create a galaxy, or a star, or even a human body, can also bring about the fulfillment of our deepest desires. So now let's go over to the spiritual laws of success and see how we can apply them in our lives. And you know, when I was reading that, what I thought about was how Jesus, and this comes up so often when we're talking about prosperity, Jesus told the masses, don't worry about what clothes you're going to wear or what food you're going to eat. The Father knows that you have need of these things. And then he says, look at the lilies in the field. They neither toil or work, yet they're provided for. The birds, they don't worry about this stuff. They are provided for. Do you think you're any less than these? No. You're so precious to the one that created us. Whether you call it source or God or the universe, you are such a precious gem. And we get so caught up in the physical things of what we need, and there's no need. So if nothing else, I hope that this will help you. The law of pure potentiality. And here's his note as he opens. The source of all creation is pure consciousness. Pure potentiality seeking expression from the unmanifest to the unmanifest. And when we realize that our true self is one of pure potentiality, then we align with the power that manifests everything in the universe. In the beginning, there was neither existence nor non-existence. All the world was unmanifest energy. And the one breathed without breath by his own power. Nothing else was there. And that's from the hymn of creation by the Rig Veda. So the first spiritual law of success is the law of pure potentiality. And this law is based on the fact that we are, in our essential state, pure consciousness. Pure consciousness is pure potentiality. It is the field of all possibilities and infinite creativity. Pure consciousness is our spiritual essence. That's the core of who we are. Being infinite and unbounded, it is also pure joy. Other attributes are of consciousness are pure knowledge, infinite silence, perfect balance, invincibility, simplicity, and bliss. This is our essential nature. Our essential nature is one of pure potentiality. So when you discover your essential nature and know who you really are, in that knowing itself is the ability to fulfill any dream that you have, because you are the eternal possibility, the immeasurable potential of all that was, all that is, and all that will be. The law of pure potentiality could also be called the law of unity, because underlying the infinite diversity of life is the unity of all pervasive spirit. There is no separation between you and this field of energy, because the field of pure potentiality is your own self. And the more you experience your true nature, the closer you are to the field of pure potentiality. The experience of the self or self-referral means that our internal reference point is our own spirit and not the objects of our experience. The opposite of self-referral is object referral. In object referral, we are always influenced by objects outside the self, which include situations and circumstances, people, and things. In object referral, we are constantly seeking the approval of others. Our thinking and our behavior are always in anticipation of a response. It is therefore what? It's fear-based. In object referral, we also feel an intense need to control things. We feel an intense need for external power. The need for approval, the need to control things, and the need for external power are needs that are based on fear. And this kind of power is not the power of pure potentiality or the power of the self, or real power. When we experience the power of the self, there is an absence of fear. There is no compulsion to control. And there's no struggle for approval or external power. But in object referral, your internal reference point is your ego. The ego is not who you really are. The ego is your self-image. It is your social mask. It is the role you are playing. And your social mask thrives on approval. It wants to control, and it is sustained by power because it lives in fear. So your true self, which is your spirit, your soul, is completely free of those things. It is immune to criticism. It is unfearful of any challenge, and it feels beneath no one. And yet, it is also humble and feels superior to no one, because it recognizes that everyone else is the same self, the same spirit, just in different disguises. So that's the eternal or the essential difference between object referral and self-referral. Now, in self-referral, you experience your true being which is unfearful of any challenge, has respect for all people, and feels beneath no one. That's self-power. And therefore, that's true power. I want you guys to take a deep breath on that. Man, how many of you are living that right now? How many of you are in a work situation right now, and you're working with coworkers, and there's a job that you have your eye on, a promotion, but someone else is getting the promotion instead of you? And how did it make you feel? Did you feel slighted? Then you're not moving from your true power. You're not moving from your true self. Okay? In that situation, ideally, you should be happy for the person and recognize, okay, this was not for me. Let me see. There's something better in store for me. Maybe I've set my heights too low. Maybe this isn't really the right organization. Am I really pursuing, do I really have joy in this, or am I trying to feed my ego? You know, I look back over my life now, and I'm so grateful for some of the things that I have been denied because I knew it would take me away from what really brings me joy. And so that's what I ask you today. Stop. Your joy, your feelings, your emotions, how you feel about a situation is a clue to whether or not you are moving in the awareness of that divinity within you. If you are joyful, if you are in joy, you are on target. If you're feeling miserable, you need to check yourself. Power based on object referral, however, that means things outside of ourselves, is false power. Being ego-based power, it lasts only as long as the object of reference is there. If you have a certain title, let's say if you're the president of the country or the chairman of a corporation, or if you have a lot of money, the power you enjoy goes with the title. It goes with the job. It goes with the money. Ego-based power will only last as long as those things last. And as soon as the title or the job or the money go away, so does the power. But self-power, on the other hand, is permanent because it is based on the knowledge of the self. And there are certain characteristics of self-power. Listen, it draws people to you, and it also draws things that you want to you. It magnetizes people. It magnetizes situations and circumstances to support your desires. And this is also called support for the laws of the nature, of nature. It is the support of divinity. It is the support that comes from being in the state of grace. Your power is such that you enjoy a bond with people, and people enjoy a bond with you. Your power is that of bonding. And that bonding comes from true love. So now, how can we apply the law of pure potentiality, the field of all possibilities, to our lives? And before I go forward with this, I want to ask this question. Does everybody understand what the law of potentiality is? I don't want to move through this and you not understand. I'm going to give you a second to press 1 or on your telephone keypad if you have a question, if you're not clear on it. Okay? And now we're going to go into applying the law. All right. So how can we apply the law of pure potentiality? If we want to enjoy the benefits of the field of pure, if you have a question, just press 1 on the telephone keypad. I'm here. I'll acknowledge you. If you want to enjoy the benefits of the field of pure potentiality, if you want to make full use of the creativity which is inherent in pure consciousness, then you have to have access to it. One way to access the field is through the daily practice of silence, meditation, and non-judgment. And I'm chuckling now because we went through the Way of the Wizard. And what did Way of the Wizard? Their first lesson was get rid of the judgment. Get rid of the labels. That was the first lesson in the Way of the Wizard, which was also written by Deepak Chopra. Oneness says get rid of the judgment. Get rid of the labels. Be still and know that I am God. Stop the chatter and find your sacred place. Spend some time in nature will give you access to the qualities inherent in the field. Infinite creativity, infinite freedom, and bliss. When you practice the silence, that means that you're making a commitment to take a certain amount of time to simply be. Experiencing silence means periodically withdrawing yourself from the activity of speech. It also means periodically withdrawing from such activities as watching television or listening to the radio or reading a book. If you never give yourself the opportunity to experience silence, this creates turbulence in your internal dialogue. I get so wound up at times, I can't stand the thought of silence. Something has to be going on all the time. Okay, how many of you are addicted to your Blackberries or your iPhones, your smartphones? Somebody's texting you. Somebody, you got a voicemail. You got an email. Oh, it's busy, 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 busy. Turn it off. If not, but for 3 minutes. And just be. I'm guilty of it. I have to make myself turn it off. And what Deepak is saying is set aside a little time every once in a while to experience some silence. Put your feet in the grass. Walk and breathe the air. Oh, my goodness, this morning the air is beautiful outside in Atlanta. It's nice and cool and balmy. Enjoy it. This is why you came to this planet. If you can just make a commitment to maintain silence for a certain period each day, if you could do it for 2 hours, or if that seems like a lot, do it for 1 hour, and every once in a while experience silence for an extended period of time, such as a full day, or 2 days, or even a whole week. I don't know if I can make it through a whole week, I'll be honest. I would try, but Dr. Reggie says, do you ever get tired of talking? I need to practice the silence. But what happens when you go into this experience of silence? Well, initially, your internal dialogue becomes even more turbulent, and you feel an intense need to say things. I've known people who go absolutely crazy the first day or two when they commit themselves to an extended period of silence. A sense of urgency and anxiety suddenly comes over them. But as they stay with the experience, their internal dialogue begins to quiet. And soon the silence becomes profound. This is because after a while the mind just gives up. It realizes there is no point in going around and around if you, the self, the spirit, the choice maker, are not going to speak. Period. And then as the internal dialogue quietens, you begin to experience the stillness of the field of pure potentiality. Wow. So practicing silence periodically as it is convenient to you is one way to experience the law of pure potentiality. And spending time each day in meditation is another. But ideally, you should meditate at least 30 minutes in the morning and 30 minutes in the evening. Because through meditation, you will learn to experience the field of pure silence and pure awareness. And in that field of pure silence is the field of infinite correlation, the field of infinite organizing power, the ultimate ground of creation where everything is inseparably connected with everything else. It's where things are born. It's the incubator. In the fifth spiritual law, which is the law of intention and desire, and we'll talk about that later on this week, but you will see how you can introduce a faint impulse of intention in this field, and the creation of your desires will come about spontaneously. But first, you have to experience the stillness. Stillness is the first requirement for manifesting your desires. Because in stillness lies your connection to the field of pure potentiality. And that can orchestrate an infinity of details for you. So I'm going to go to the lines right now. And I saw Anthony had his hand up this morning. Good morning, Anthony. How are you?
Can you hear me?
I do hear you, sir.
Okay. Greetings. I thought you were asking a question earlier. Then I raised my hand, but then I realized it wasn't a question.
I did ask. I asked if you guys wanted to, if you had a question. Did you have a question or comment?
At that time, I did, but then I realized you had answered it, so I took my hand down. But
I didn't get to you fast enough. I'm sorry.
Well, no, then, and that's all good. But I am thankful and grateful for just being on the call. I've been off the call because I'm traveling and getting up late.
Okay.
But I concur, too, that sometimes we do have to take the time to slow down because you're just busy, busy, busy. And I am, too, a talker. I just run my mouth. And sometimes I need to do it because I have been to a 10-day of silence, and it's amazing how the mind just runs until you slow it down.
Yeah, so I have a very hard time slowing down and getting quiet. Thank you so much for your comment. It's challenging. You know, Dr. Reggie does wonderful meditations, and we have about 6 minutes left on this call, and I'm just going to ask him to take us into a quick guided meditation, and for us to go into the silence, and so that we can experience that silence. If you're on the call, or even if you are in the chat room, that we experience the silence for just a moment, so that you know what it feels like, and that you revisit this. Because guess what? This is your garden. This is where you plant your seeds. Dr. Reggie, let me turn your mic on. Are you there?
And that would help. Turn the mic on.
Yes, it would.
I want everyone listening to take a deep breath in through the nose and hold it to the count of 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Slowly and deliberately release that breath out of your mouth. And as you breathe out, experience the releasing of all tension and the releasement of all anxiety and all fear and doubt. Just release it. And in your mind, with your eyes closed, see a beautiful garden with these lush, beautiful flowers, pine trees, a private lake, even swans swimming on the lake. watching what all the animals in nature do, how they respond, how beautiful and brisk the wind is blowing, the trees are bending and moving, and the fragrance of the flowers fill the air. And you can smell it really deep, how it oxygenates your lungs and your body. And you are part of this nature. Listening is the most profound key to expressing. As you listen to everything in nature of which you are a part, listen to the silence of everything. Look at the water and how the waves are rippling across the water and how it moves the swan and the fish and everything around you. It enjoys nature. You are a major, major part of this natural scene on Earth with the potential to do great things and to create. You come from a creator. Listen with your mind. Gaze upon one flower in particular, that one over in the corner near the grass that has beautiful red blooms on it. Look at the perfection of each petal on the flower. That's also you, your perfection. What do you feel? How are you feeling? You are no less than they are. As you unfold in your own perfection, give thanks to the universe within you, because you are the energy of God looking at itself in creation. Be grateful right here and right now for who you are. And as you breathe, know that that breath of life is in you. And you extend love and beauty and courtesy in nature to everything and everyone you meet. And they see your light shining. Enjoy this moment of what you are part of eternity. And be grateful for everything that experiences you and that you experience. And as you breathe, know that this is the breath of life. And you are eternity. And have great gifts. And bring your awareness into yourself for this minute of divine meditation. And as you gain consciousness, you're shifting energy from meditation into your now conscious awareness. And come back when you feel ready. And know that you are love and you are loved. Amen.
So do you feel that calm and that peacefulness? That's the silence. That stillness. But all is filled with power. It is not empty. Thank you for joining us this morning. We'll be here tomorrow, and we'll move into the second law, which is the law of giving. I love you as God loves you. Have a wonderful and blessed day. And try to find time sometime today to revisit your sacred place in the silence. God bless you.